Welcome to our weekly Wednesday shiur. These are Nishmas Rosen Basra Hachana and Ezra. Shiur is also dedicated. The Yiralef Nissen, birthday of the Rebbe, 122 years actually. As Rebbe begins, 123. Actually, on the 123rd birthday of the Rebbe Rashab, Rebbe spoke a very, very beautiful sikha. But unfortunately, I did not commit it to memory and I didn't write it down. But with another, somehow we'll get it transmitted. This Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGodol. But we only take out one Sefer Torah. It's not one of the four Parshiyos. We take out one Sefer Torah, and we will be reading from Parshas Mitzeda, the regular Kriyas HaTorah of the Parsha of the week. We then will be reading by Mincha Achri Mois, Monday morning we read Achri Mois. Thursday we read Chalamoid. Next Shabbos Mincha again Achri Mois. The following Thursday again Achri Mois, and then the Shabbos after Pesach will be Parshas Achri Mois. Generally, on a regular year, Pesach is more affiliated with Shemini, and there are times even when we read Shemini 8 times on that basis. Shabbos Mincha, Monday, Thursday, etc. Shemini Shmeina. Achri Mois is not being read 8 times. And we're not going to talk about Achri Mois, we have to talk about Parshas Mitzeda anyway. Also, we'll talk about Shabbos HaGodol. And hopefully, to get one or two quips in about the Haggadah, or the Yom Tov of Pesach, some halachas. Interestingly, someone stopped me this morning to remind me that Thursday morning, when I send out the Chaim of the Drush of Erev Shabbos, I have to send out 2 more for Pesach, so make sure Sunday I send out 2 more. People wonder why, for those who listen to the Chaim of the Drush, why on Thursday morning I say Erev Shabbos Kodesh. One of the people that listened to Chaim of the Drush lives in Auckland, New Zealand, and he's 16 hours ahead of us, and he's getting ready for Shabbos usually by that time. If I would record on Friday morning, it would be Shabbos for him, ready, he wouldn't be able to hear it. And since he has my ear, being my son, he gets the benefit. Pashta Zia Mitzeda, often time out together. And we get one Shabbos, one dose during that course of the week of Zazria Mitzeda. And we get all the lessons that are taught from it, and all the life lessons that we need to take from it, etc. On a leap year like this year, Sazria and Mitzera are being read separately. So 1 week we are reading Tazria, 1 week reading Mitzera. The sin of leprosy. Leprosy in the time of the Torah, person was smitten. As we spoke last week, it began in their home, and then on their body, then their clothes, then their body, etc. Also, today's day and age, we are different. You don't have the dinim, the laws of leprosy of a person getting tzaras, becoming impure, being sent out of the community, out of the area. Why not? What is leprosy all about? What causes it? What brings it about? What heals it? When a person is smitten with leprosy and sent out of the community, it's a, as we would say in America, a wake-up call. It's not. It's more than just a simple slap on the wrist. Person knows now, life is pretty severe, it's a pretty serious situation. After the days of solitude, the mitzvah needs to bring a sacrifice, a korban mitzvah. Today, a lot of people, free thinkers, don't like that whole concept, sacrifices, killing animals, animal rights, PETA. We're not going to go into that. This sacrifice, though, is one of those sacrifices that goes according to your budget. A wealthy person needs to bring a more expensive sacrifice, whereas the poor person is allowed to bring whatever he can afford. Enumerates in our parsha. And also a person can bring a second korban. For a second you can bring a korban. For someone that is obligated to. And if a poor person accepts upon himself to do the bring a sacrifice of a rich man, or vice versa, what's the story? Tells us the Rambam, Oshir, a wealthy person, Shomar had said, Korbanei shel mitzeda ze alai. A korban of a mitzeda is upon me, I take it upon myself. V'amitzeda ha'yani, and the mitzeda was a poor person, and he said, maybe al yaday korbanei is Oshir. He needs to bring the korban of a wealthy man. Why? Because it goes according to how much the budget, or as we say, according to the Lashon HaTorah, how much the hand is capable of the person that's donating. Whereas if a poor person says that the karma of this person I will do, and the man was a wealthy man, he needs to bring the korban of a wealthy man, because this is what the man needs to bring in order to be forgiven for his sin. So the budget and the economy really enjoy this. But we need to understand this halacha. The person that gives a promise, commits himself to the place of the mitzvah, It has to be according to how much the Metzeda can give. What his financial status is. And this financial status of the donor should not be relevant at all here. So where does Rambam come to Paskin that if the donor is a wealthy man, he needs to bring the karma of the wealthy man, and the Metzeda is a poor man, he does also bring the wealthy man's. To understand this, first we need to go into the depth behind the scene, shall we say. The Torah gave the concept of bringing a karma for somebody else. The karbana is the sacrifice of a chatos, an asham. This is on the person that does the sin, commits the sin. Or the person that needs forgiveness for something. So in that case, what's the whole story of a person giving for them? How does it work? How does it fit? If you keep a score at home, this is Gemara Shavuos Lamedtes, the bottom of the Aleph. Torah gives us a very, very basic, fundamental generalization on a mainstay concept, which is the famous line, Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh. Every Jew is a guarantor for a fellow Jew. And the merit of being this guarantor, the Jew fulfills this for his friend. And therefore a person can be makir of a karban for another person, can bring a sacrifice for another person. And thereby forgive the sin of this person. So when a Jew promises, the karban of this mitzvah is on me, he's revealing that he and the Metzeda are one. This unity comes about in Halacha, as mentioned before, that if the wealthy man promises, at that moment he is the Metzeda, he is the rich person, brings the sacrifice of a rich man. If he's a poor person, he still brings the mitzera, usher, the rich man, because he's united with him. He's coming one with him. Therefore, it falls upon him the dinim of the karbanis, the sacrifice that the mitzera himself has. This halacha teaches us a very relevant connection. How far the keach of Achdus Yisrael, of unity between the Jews, through a karban that a Jew brings for another Jew, he can actually forgive, have the other Jew forgiven. Not just circumstantial, that the person that's chayiv, the kapara, is a poor person, and he can't bring a karma, that even if he is a wealthy person, the person that promises in his place to give is a poor person, the man still can see to it that the rich man is forgiven. And this is all because the Jews are all like one body. And when one part of the body, one organ of the body has a problem, all the organs feel it. And so too by all the Yidden. When one part of the body, when one Yid needs strengthening. When a Jew needs to be awakened to bring a korban for his friend, he strengthens the organ of this sick person as well, and forgives the sinner. So much so, even if he's a poor person, he gets the kreiches of the rich person in order to be able to be mekayim his nether and to bring the korban with the true wealth. Quite a lesson in our Aveda Hashem, and even a stronger lesson in our Aveda of Avos Yisrael. Not just are we, as we said in the Gemara before, are we guarantors, each and every Jew a guarantor for another Jew? Not only are we actually, it's not a figuratively said, responsible for a fellow Jew, but rather we are actually responsible. So much so that we can compensate for their sins. This, says the Teda, in both Sazria and Mitzera. However, when Sazria and Mitzera read together, we get one dose. In the course of 1 week, do we hear about this remedy, about this connection. Whereas if they're read separately, we have 1 week of Sazria listening to this, 1 week of Mitzera. And this all leads up to the Yom Tov of Pesach. The Yom Tov of Pesach, one of the mainstay statements made by the Seder of the evening of the Seder, Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechel, all those in need should come eat. Kumtz Kinderest. Very, very, very powerful thing. Where we display the epitome of Avos Yisrael after hearing two parshas, 2 weeks in a row, Sazria and Mitzera teaching us how much Avos Yisrael we have to have, how much connection we have to have for a fellow Jew, comes the Yom Tov of Pesach, the Yom Tov of giving. Purim we give tzedakas, we give matanas tevyenim. The kimcha, the pischa, the mois chitim, the money that we need to give in order to help a fellow Jew in need for Yom Tov. Whether it be giving them actual check, whether it be giving them actual food. This is the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, which after a repetition of 2 weeks of the parsha of the Teira Kadesh telling us how strong our Avos Yisrael needs to be. But it goes yet a step further. One might be scratching their head and saying, the rich man has to give a rich man's thing, and the poor man may give a poor man sacrifice. And if the rich man decides to give that of the poor man, not accepted. Why? One of the reasons for getting tzedas, everybody jumps to the conclusion, is lashon hara. Speaking poorly, speaking bad about another person. Lashon hara does not have to be speaking only. You could be thinking as well. You could be thinking about a fellow Jew badly, rightfully or not. That's lashon hara. Also, ayin hara, a wicked evil eye. But another thing is ayin tzara, a stingy eye. Where a person poshut can't forgive another person to exist. It bothers me that this person has, whether it be money, health, children, grandchildren, whatever it might be, a home, a house. It bothers me to see somebody else in better shape than I, or even the strangest part is the person that has it all and still can't forgive another person to have as well. For this, one is also smitten with tzaras. Can also be a leper. So you're put in solitary confinement. You cannot mix with anybody. You're given time to reflect. You're given time to think. You're given time to concentrate. You're given time to say to yourself, how do I fix? What do I do to fix? Excuse me, you're given that time now. And you accepted the punishment and you came and said, I want to bring a sacrifice. The rich man says, I want to bring a poor man's sacrifice. You're still a miser. You're still stingy. You have not been healed. And therefore, his sacrifice cannot be accepted. He needs to give the fullest amount that he can possibly give, plus. Tzedakah is given till it hurts. Tzedakah does not have to be a check. It does not have to be a zeal. It does not have to be a cash app. It does not have to be any other kind of financial transaction. Tzedakah could be a smile, a good word to another person, a nice word to another person, a nice thought about another person, making a connection for another person. So many years ago, my wife was shopping, and in her change, she was given a dollar. Until she got home, she didn't realize it was a dollar that the Rebbe had given somebody. And it had the person's name on it. Finding, discovering, and thinking of how, what, and when, it was back and forth. Today it came up in Pesach cleaning. Today it's a lot easier to network. It's a lot easier to publicize. So on her WhatsApp status and on her other people's groups and every group, she posted and posted and posted. And lo and behold, someone had a friend who they knew their mother, this friend's mother's name is the name that is on this dollar. And they called up their friend and said, this is your mother's name? Yeah, this is her. Yeah. Huh? We found it. They called my wife, and the dollar was returned to its owner.
You're going to get there, yeah.
Where was this person when this dollar was started to circulate again and to go back to return to its rightful owner? This person was at the ale. She was davening for something, for one of her children. And she was davening to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe wanted to tell her, wanted to give her this bracha and tell her that how she was answered. Not always do we feel and see that we actually got answered. The Rebbe literally physically sent her a dollar with her name on it, giving it to her yet once again, so that she receives the brachas that come with this dollar. This is the epitome of Avas Yisrael. This is how a Yid needs to worry about another fellow Jew. And this is how we are Revim Zelazah. And this is how ultimately the power of prayer, the power of tefillah, is answered in an open and revealed fashion. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we who are created in the form of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, learn how to forgive and learn how to forget and learn how to say it was a mistake, learn how to say I forgive this person, although it's hard for me to do so, but I will break myself and I will persevere and I will forgive. And we ask of Hashem to forgive as well. But there are times where things happen not sins that I sinned against another person, but a personal sin against Hashem. And this a person fights with all their lives to figure out a solution, to figure out a resolution, to figure out a reparation, how to repair this particular sin. Something that they did on their own, in Chadar Chadarim, had nothing to do with another person whatsoever. Maybe another person's life in the long run, it was not interacting with anybody else. On their own. And they look and they search and they say to themselves, how can I be forgiven? And they try. And they try to be better and they try to improve their lifestyle. And then that very person, during improving their lifestyle, literally takes their own hands and pushes everything away. These are told, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. You're going into Eretz Yisrael, and the Torah enumerates again the laws of Tzaras, of a house. And the Torah says something very strange. Ki Savoy on Eretz Canaan, when you arrive to the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to you for inheritance, I will give a tzaras in the house in which you are dwelling. Sounds like good news. I'm going to put, when you come there, you're going to get tziras. HaKadosh Baruch is letting us know that when we're going to arrive in Eretz Yisrael, He will give in the houses tziras. How could this be a good thing? tziras. It's a machla. It's a disease. It's a punishment for sins. Our sages have this very question. And they answer as such. And Rashi mentions this as well in his explanation of the pasuk. And the answer is that the nigoyim tzaras in the house, these afflicted leprosy on the house walls, has within it a good thing. Has a good thing in it. What's the good thing that happens to Jews? That when they break it out, they break out the wall, they will find treasures. Why? Rashi continues and says, "Kesheshamu ha'amidim, she'am Yisrael miskarev la'aretzom." When the amidim, we have different nations that rested in Eretz Yisrael. Lani chiti amidim, please ayusi. When the amidim heard that the Yidden were coming to Eretz Yisrael, and they were going to drive them out of the land, of course, they hid all their gold and silver in the walls. They hid all the gold and silver in the walls. For 40 years. The 40 years the Yidden were in the desert, all this gold and silver was buried at the walls of the Amidim, says Rashi. So when the Jews came, and there was a nega on the wall, it was broken out, and they found it. No? Got good news to tell you, this is Givaldik. But another question comes about here. The whole 40 years. How do they know that the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar were coming, the Jews in the desert were coming to inherit and conquer this land? Also, it says here that Amidi hid it. It doesn't say the land of Canaan, the Canaanim. It says they made him. And they made him, we know, with different people. Pasuk tells us when they went through the Yamsuf, they say, Namegu kol yeshvich noan. Rashi explains, Omru aleinu, heim boim lechalei seinu, the leaders of Satsay. We're told that the Yidden are coming to drive them out of their lands and inherit the land. And other places mentioned as such. However, the only time we heard about Amidim was by the Bris Ben Absarim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, I promise you, your children are going to come to this land. And he says to him, V'der Revi Yashuvu Hena, the fourth generation will return here. Kilay shilem avena amedi adhena. You're not to complete the sin of the Amedi until this place, till this time. So there the Bnei Amedi themselves were the ones that committed the sins for four generations. Therefore we knew as well now it was time for the Yidden to inherit the land. And they knew that the people would have to leave, and they would leave the land. If that's the case, they had hope. They had a little white hope in the back of their minds, they made them. Just like they're going to be driven out of the land because they're going to do their sins, the Jews too will do their sins and be driven out of the land as well. Because of our sins, we were driven out of our land. At that point, they'll get back into their homes, and they'll get back all the jewels and things, the gold and silver that they hid. With the hope and prayer that they're going to return. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the promise that this would be in the Goyim, in the wall, in order that the Jews should find this and they should become rich. The fact that Maidim were the ones that we're talking about here is not necessarily the mainstay point. Teira explains Chassidus. Maidi talks about the Yetzer, the Yetzirah, who talks all the divrei shtus and hevel, and brings about at the end of the day also lashon hara, and that is the sin that causes siras, and therefore this is a direct connection between the emeidim and the siras in the walls. On the other hand, it was dafka in the houses of the emeidim that they hid the gold. This as well teaches us that even when a Jew is entrenched in shtus and hevel, the secrets and the deepest treasures of belief and avas Hashem and tachas hamitis is something that is in them, and therefore this is something that they need to reveal. They need to bring out from within themselves. Therefore tells us the Torah that one needs to, if one gets Chas V'Shalom Tzaras, it's a message, direct message to them, to dig deep, to soul search, as we say, to find that Nekudah, to find that Pintel Yid, to find that source of Kedusha that connects us with the Eivishta, and thereby revealing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hidden within us. And why did they hide it for 40 years? When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, the master plan was they're going to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to cross the Yam Suf, get to Har Sinai, get the data, go to Eretz Yisrael. So they hid their stuff. Unfortunately, it was the sin of the Meraglim, the spies. And the Jews were now vanquished, shall we say, to the desert for 40 years. But they didn't know that. They only knew the Jews were coming. In camp. On silly skits. And we all know the famous poem of Paul Revere. Listen, my children, you shall hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere. Whoa, how do you know that? Never mind. And Paul Revere was running to tell everybody the British were coming. He called in the middle of the night to come awaken everybody, to warn them to stand up, to stage war. We had a on stage, you had a house, a window,
and he had a guy dressed up as Paul Revere, as the old days with the hats and everything. And he's running through the street screaming, "The British are coming, the British are coming." And a window flies open. And this Arab pops his head out of the window. He said, "What?" He says, "The British are coming." He says, "Huh, I thought you said the Yiddish are coming." They knew the Yidden were coming. They didn't know when. So once they hid their things, they didn't know if tomorrow they're going to show up. So every day for 40 years, they thought tomorrow might be the day, and therefore did not dig up their own treasures to use them through the course of the 40 years. And therefore it remained for the Eden to become rich. The famous story of the Eden couple, family, Chmona Lutzal being thrown out of by the pirates, they're going to be thrown into jail for the back rent. The famous story. There's zillions of famous stories. And it was Pesach time, before Pesach. And he traveled to his Rebbe. And he wanted to go in to ask for a bracha, to be saved. But the Rebbe wasn't seeing anybody. So it was Thursday night. He figured, okay, after Shabbos, he'll stay for Shabbos, and after Shabbos, he'll ask his Rebbe. Shabbos was Shabbos HaGodl. Shabbos HaGodl, the Rav or the Rebbe makes a drasha. So, the Rav, Rebbe, got up and was dashing halachic discourse. Way over this man's head. Way out of his league, as we say. Next level. No. Was tut mir jetzt? Suddenly, the Rebbe starts talking about the Haggadah. And he says in the Haggadah, we say one of the things that we say is Vanitzak El Hashem. They called out to the Yevishta, Vanitzak El Hashem, Elike Aviseinu. And he said, when we say this paragraph, Vanitzak is a time to daven. And a person can daven for anything, whether it be nachas, whether it be money, whether it be shidduch, whether it be health. This is the time a person needs to daven. And they did just that. He came home and his wife says, "No," he says, "you'll find out." They started to say they started saying Vanitzak, and he started to scream Vanitzak, and he was crying, and everybody got set on fire from it. And everybody started to cry. Everybody started to scream, Vanitzak El Hashem. And when they finished the paragraph, there's a knock on the door. Just like that. It was a goy, one of the neighbor goys. Goys. And he said, "I have a problem. I need to run. I need to escape." And he said he killed his wife, or they think he killed, whatever it was. "However, my riches are in gold. I have 2 barrels full of gold. I trust you. I know you for years, I trust you. I want to leave my barrels of gold with you. It's 2 barrels. Each one is enough to support a family for a lifetime. So I'll tell you what, I have enough, only one. One I'm gifting you, and the other one I'll come and get. A certain amount of time till I'll come and get it." Lo and behold, they continue the Seder, they finish the Seder, and after Pesach, they paid their debt, and then some, maybe even bought this little place. And he never returned, so the second barrel went to them as well. From the Vanitzak El Hashem, a time we can ask for everything, for forgiveness, for happiness, for joy, for peace of mind. As I said before, riches, shidduchim, whatever it might be. That is the time, said this Rebbe, to call out to the Eibishter. This Shabbos, the Shabbos HaGadol, the big Shabbos, the great Shabbos. Why? What's so great about the Shabbos? Shabbos before Pesach. As a matter of fact, it's probably the worst Shabbos of the year. Everybody's exhausted. Hands are cut up and this and this and from the cleaning and from the cooking and from the... And even the cooking, what can I eat now? Because it's Erev Pesach and it's not Shabbos. It's not... I can't eat matzah, but I can't eat challah, and I can't eat... Oh! And it's Shabbos HaGadol. What a name for it. The great Shabbos. It's named after the great miracle that happened to our forefathers in Egypt. That year, it was the 10th day of Nisan, was on Shabbos. Bnei Yisrael were commanded to take, on that day, a se'el aboyes, a shepsela, to their house, to slaughter it on the 14th day of Nisan for a korban Pesach. This was audacious, to say the least. This was the epitome of audacity. Because the Egyptians considered the Shepselech their deity, their god. Still in all, a tremendous miracle happened, and two catastrophes befell the Egyptians. According to the Torah Shulchan Aruch, Shel Chaim, the Mitzrayim wanted to destroy the Eden. They couldn't say a word. What did they kill him? You're taking my God. Couldn't say a word. The Alter Rebbe writes, another twist, shall we say, on this miracle, according to Tesis, he was scored home from Masechet Shabbos, Pei Zayin, I believe Amar Aleph, it's Dibur HaMaskel, the ACIM, that day. Jesus writes in Skabs of Bechere Yisrael, Mitzchere Mitzrayim, Eitzi Yisrael. The Egyptian firstborns came to the Jews. Vishalom, they asked, Lama Zahem Eitzi Mechach, why are you doing this? Amr Lahem, they told him, Zevach Pesach Hul Hashem, this is Zevach Pesach. This is the sacrifice of Pesach, Shiyarei Bechere Mitzrayim, the first born of Egypt, all the firstborns will be killed. Immediately the firstborn ran to their forefather, to their fathers, ran to the king, ran everywhere, and begged, get the Jews out of here. We don't want to die. They were refused. So they staged war. Many, many people died. They staged a war against their own fathers and their own royalty, and it was a revolution, it was a civil war. So these two facts of the miracle in Shabbos HaGadol gives us these two levels, a kayach that was given to each and every Jew to serve God. On all the hardships that go around us, the miracle that tells us, according to the Tur, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the Jews to learn Torah, b'mekayim mitzvahs, and nobody can stop you. Nobody can hold you back from this, from fulfilling the want of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The miracle brought down by the Alter Rebbe goes to another higher level than this, takes it to a higher level. In the relevance the godly connection to the world. The world doesn't get just paid from the fulfilling of the Ratzon of Hashem, but actually will get punished from such if they don't. But that's not enough. He himself needs to stand up against all those things, that all the obstacles that come before them. Just like the Bechere Mitzrayim, they took the initiative and they battled their own fathers. They battled Paray and they begged and pleaded for their lives and said, send the Jews out. These two things are connected with two things that have to do with Shabbos. Therefore, this miracle is shines and is established dafka on the Shabbos and not on the 10th day of Nisan. And it says two reasons. Firstly, Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, to remember the work of the creation of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days. Vayonach b'yom hashvi'i, he rested on the seventh. Secondly, Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remember the leaving of Egypt. We were servants and slaves in Egypt, and we went out of it. He took us out of there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to rest on the day of Shabbos, in order to remember Chaste Hashem Aleinu V'hanichem Etach Asilas Mitzrayim, the kindness, the benevolence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon us, taking us out from the suffering of the Egyptians. The first level, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, shows on the actual involvement that Shabbos has a chelik, a part of the creation. 6 days of the creation, of the working of creation, and the seventh day he rested, that's part of the creation. And therefore, the world cannot withhold back a Jew from fulfilling the want of God. Because the Chatzchili was created in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's nothing in the world that can stop us from doing such. Whereas the Gidrei Abrias, the boundaries of the people that are created, the Jewish nation, Hama'at Mikolam, the most minute of all the other nations, and given to rule over the entire world, this is the Chiddush of the miracle Yetzias Mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised Am Yisrael from all the boundaries, all the restrictions of all the creations, and took us out from avdus l'chedus, from servitude to freedom. And this begins the chiddush, this the beautiful novelty of this Shabbos known as Shabbos HaGadol, where the Bechere Mitzrayim did not try to hold back the Jews. They themselves went out to fight to free the Jews from the Mitzrayim. Rabbi Isai, Shabbos HaGadol. If you have not sold your chametz, please make sure you do so. It's done today it's been made very easy. There's ways of even selling it online. Go to Chabad.org and sell your chametz online. Or you can go to a local rabbi, you can, if a rabbi you know, you can connect, that you have any connection with, you can call him or text them, or even meet up with them. A lot of people give tzedakah to the rabbi, or give tzedakah to his causes. Bedikas chametz. We look for the chametz on Sunday night. The tradition is we put down 10 pieces of bread wrapped up in foil so they don't crumble all over the place. And we
put them in different rooms of the house, and we searched the house from top to bottom. You have two-floor house, three-floor house, four-floor house, whatever it is. Every floor needs to be checked. And this bedikah is made, it's done with a candle, light of a candle. The tradition is to have a wooden spoon and a feather. And we sweep the feather in a bag, a paper bag, and we sweep the feather with the feather onto the spoon, the piece of bread which is wrapped in a foil. We then place it in the bag. At the end of the bedikah, we find all 10 pieces. We have to put down 10 pieces. We find all 10 pieces. We put them all together in that bag. We keep them all together. We leave the handle of the wooden spoon sticking out of the bag. We close the bag. And we put it somewhere we'll remember the next day to take it to be burnt. One needs to make a bracha of bedikas chametz. But he doesn't say on bedikas chametz, but on bir chametz, on destroying of chametz. Thereby keeping in mind that the next day he's going to have this chametz destroyed. The person started bedikas chametz and forgot to make the bracha. He makes the bracha during the bedikas chametz. The next day, on Erev Pesach, there's certain times, you have to check your local times, till what time you're allowed to eat chametz, till what time you have to burn the chametz. Generally, most Jewish communities have a communal fire, which everybody comes together and burn the chametz there. Erev Pesach is a day of reflection. There are people that, the matzahs of baked Erev Pesach are special matzahs called Erev Pesach matzahs. If you can get that, wonderful. If not, it's also good. And this you make your Seder with any matzah that you have. It should be matzah shmura at least. And of course the three matzahs by the Seder and all the other parts that we have to have on top of the Seder. The Haggadah is recited. The four cups of wine must be drunk on Seder night. If you cannot consume wine for whatever reason, you may speak to your local rabbi and they will probably give you permission to just use grape juice. If you're allergic to the grape juice, there's another step and levels which you need to talk to your local rabbi about. At this point, we're just going to have to, we say halal on at night by Maida, which is also a novelty, which we don't do. Any other yomtiv, we only, by Pesach at night, we say the full halal. And then we say it again in the Haggadah. May it be days, you may taste chemed at time, and in the flies, may we see wonders, miracles. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu take us out of this horrific, horrific golus this very Shabbos, so that we should be zeche. Mechel shom min hazvachim min hapsochim to eat from the Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim in HaKadosh. Shabbat shalom and chag kosher v'sameach to all. There probably will not be a shiur next week, as it is Yom Tov.